Join me in a brief word of prayer. Father in heaven, we are grateful for this day. On your Sabbath, this Thanksgiving weekend, we remember the importance of being thankful, of transferring our thanksgiving into thanks living. Father, that is a miracle. Some of us have difficulty even doing it once a year. And so, Father, we pray for that miracle. We know that by the work of your Spirit, you can do all things. So speak through this message. You have spoken through so many areas of our worship today, and we give you praise and glory for what you have done and what you will do. In Jesus' name, amen. It was his senior year, and he was a basketball player. He loved playing basketball. In fact, he did so well on his team that they had potential for actually entering into the league championship. But beyond that, they were really hoping to go to the tournament, the high school tournament. Now, this whole team, they had been together since they were seventh graders. They knew each other well. They knew how to play as a team. But in spite of all of the potential, in spite of all of the talent they had, midway through the season, they had won as many games as they had lost. They were not very encouraged. And then the day came, the moment came that the coach really opened his heart to them. You know, coaches need to do that sometimes. He opened his heart to them, and this is what his words were, golden words, unforgettable words, really. You boys have the ability to win every game, but your attitudes stink. And that's why you've been losing the games. And you know, that basketball coach was right, wasn't it? And it can be applied to us. It can be applied to us. Whenever we have a bad attitude, we'll lose. There's a lot of truth in what the basketball coach had to say. Would you agree that there's sometimes it's almost nothing is worse than a bad attitude? A bad attitude can cause a team to lose. A bad attitude can cause disharmony and unhappiness within a home. A bad attitude can cause a business to go bankrupt. A bad attitude can cause a salesman to lose that sale. And even a bad attitude, well, can be a bad witness for God and for his church. Have you noticed whenever we have a bad attitude, we almost think, well, the whole world stinks. And that reminds me of a story that I want to share with you again. A cranky grandpa finds himself fast asleep, and his grandson had something planned. He got some Lindberger cheese, and he put that Lindberger cheese, just a little bit of it, right underneath his nose there on his mustache. And grandpa wakes up. He wakes up with a kind of a snort. And he's there in the room, and he thinks, and he says, he sits there in the room, he says, this room stinks. And he leaves the room, and he goes through the house, and he says, the whole house stinks. And he opens up the door, and he looks outside, and he takes a deep breath, and the whole world stinks. Well, it's a funny story, but it's a true story. There's a real lesson there, isn't it? 99 times out of 100, when we begin to feel like everything stinks, the problem is not so much out there in the world. The problem isn't always that other person. The problem is us, if we're willing to admit it. I trust that you can relate to what I've shared with you. Have you ever heard someone say to you, your attitude is showing? Your attitude is showing? Now, I know ladies that if their slip is showing and someone calls that to their attention, they're a bit embarrassed. Or for a man, his jockey shorts are showing, and they're a little embarrassed when someone calls attention to that. And yet, nothing, I repeat again, nothing exposes you and me and shows us in a bad light like a bad what? A bad attitude. The wise saying of Solomon in Proverbs, the 23rd chapter, verse 7, says it so well. As a man thinketh, so is he. As a man thinks, so is he. That which we dwell on, that which we are thinking of, that which we really chew on like a cow chews its cud, ultimately finds its way out in our behavior, out in our words, out from our thoughts. One of the things that every one of us as Christians need to come to realize and be honest about is even though we have committed our lives to Jesus Christ as personal Savior, that does not mean that once we're converted that we're going to have a perfect attitude from then on. We already know that, don't we? I sure know that in my own life. Now, it does plug us in to the source of having a good attitude. It plugs us in to the Holy Spirit's help. But we need to daily cooperate with the Holy Spirit who lives in our lives as we choose to cultivate good attitudes. And so I would invite you to turn with me in your Bibles now to Ephesians, the fifth chapter, Ephesians chapter 5. And I want to share with you today, as we're turning in our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5, I want to share with you four attitude adjustments. And I believe with all my heart that as we follow these basic principles of these attitude adjustments, that God can help us to choose, that's the key word, choose to have a good attitude instead of a bad attitude. And what's the first attitude adjustment? I might add that right in the back of your scripture reading today are some notes. And those of you that want to write down some notes to remember some of this and refer to it, you're welcome to do that. The first attitude adjustment is choose. We must choose. It's up to you. You're not going to be forced to do so. We must choose to cultivate the attitude of what? The attitude of praise. Now, believe it or not, one of the actual evidences, one of the actual fruits or results to know that you and I are being filled with the Spirit, that the Spirit of God is really being manifested in our lives, one of the evidences is that we will praise God. We will have an attitude that is positive and uplifting. That is one of the evidence. But first, before we read that, right from the scriptures here, notice the context. Verse 17 as we begin, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. You want to know what God's will is? Here is a specific area of what God's will is for your life and my life. Verse 18. But do not be drunk with wine or in excess, but be, what does it say? Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Now, in the original language, it means don't be under the control of wine, but be constantly under the control of the Holy Spirit. That's what it's saying here. And then the very next two verses, believe it or not, are the first two consequences of what happens when we're filled with the Spirit, when the Spirit of God has control of our lives. Take a look at verses 19 and 20. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making what? Melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder if there's anyone here today who finds themselves kind of locked in the wrong channel. Let's just identify the wrong channel as channel 6. Me, myself, and I. Negative. The wrong channel. And we're kind of locked into that. And we're looking at that. We're thinking about that. And we are coming across like that because we're locked into the wrong channel. Our remote has it on the wrong channel. But we can choose to use the remote and tune into the right channel. And the right channel I'd like to suggest is channel 7. Channel 7, which is by beholding Jesus, you become changed. In other words, when we find ourselves, can you relate to this, friends? When we find ourselves on the negative channel, anybody here find yourselves in the negative channel? maybe once a day. Oh, more apt if you're honest about many times during the day. We are hooked into that. We've remote control on it, and we have a choice. The choice, the remote, is the free use of the will. God has given it to us. Now it is up to us to choose to get off the negative channel onto the positive channel. And the Bible identifies that as the use of the will. And the Bible challenges us, fight the good fight of faith. The good fight of faith. Now, I'll be the first to admit, it's a battle, isn't it? Here we find ourselves on the negative channel, and we're not too sure we want to get off it. We're kind of, oh, we kind of like to hear the latest, or we like to think about this, or we just feel like we're in this easy chair of the negative, and we just don't want to get out. But friends, if you would push the button of that remote control, if you would use the right use of the will, you and myself included, and fight the good fight of faith, then we would enter into the positive, and God would perform a miracle. By the way, as we push the control button and choose to enter into the right channel, what is the right channel? I would like to suggest the right channel is to focus in on the promises of God. Focus in on the promises of God and see what will happen to you and me. You know, God has designed that you and me be praising Christians. That's His design. He has designed that we be tuned into His channel to enjoy being in His presence. But somehow, we sometimes remove ourselves from that ocean of praise. We tune into another channel. There's a lot of channels out there that are wrong channels, aren't they? They get our minds somewhere else. We dwell on the defects of someone else. We dwell on, someone that did this wrong. Or we dwell on the negative of this or that or whatever it may be. But once we remove ourselves out of the ocean of praise, it's like a fish out of water. And when we remove ourselves out of that ocean of praise, you know what happens? Well, you don't need to be told because you already know. I already know. We become grumblers. We become complainers. Can you relate? And what that happens then is that prevents the Holy Spirit from filling us, from manifesting Jesus through us. Now, take a look, for example, the children of Israel. I think you can relate to this. The children of Israel, one of the key reasons why the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness for a long 40 years was because they were grumblers. They tuned into the wrong channel, and they just could not move away from that. The wrong channel in their minds. And they could have made it. They could have made it to Canaan land in 40 days. But it took them 40 years. Hard to believe, isn't it? They complained about the leadership. They complained about petty things. They had thankless hearts, complaining mouths, grumbling, and it slowed them down. It slowed them down. And I speak from my own experience in my own life, and I know you can relate to what I'm trying to say today. It slows us down. And in a sense, it's a form of unbelief, isn't it? It's a form of unbelief. And by the way, does unbelief just kind of stay with you and me, or does it spread? It spreads, doesn't it? It spreads like poison oak. It spreads like, well, like head lice. There's an epidemic of head lice in one of our schools, and it was spreading all over the place. And it had a tremendous effect on the whole camp of the children of Israel, and it can in the children of Israel here today as well. And that removed them. That removed them from those things that brought them closer to God. And God wanted to bless them, but as a result of them tuning into the wrong channel, they removed themselves from God's blessing. Now, if there's any lessons that we can learn from the children of Israel, may this be one of them. Will someone please change the channel? I want to invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to Psalms chapter 34. Psalms, the 34th chapter. I hope that you're thinking now at this point, as all of us come to this moment of confession, that we have all often found ourselves in the wrong channel, the negative channel, and we need to tune into God's channel. I want to invite us to know how we can do that and what God's constant plan is for you and me as Christians. It's right here in the Word of God. Psalms, the 34th chapter, is one of the examples. Psalms chapter 34, there's a threefold process of praise. And I want you to notice, as we look at verse 34, the first part, it notices it says this: I will praise the Lord sometimes. Is that what it says? I will praise the Lord all times. Now, isn't that remarkable? That was God's plan. God has designed for us to have an attitude of praise and to be in a positive atmosphere of mind at all times. That was His plan. You know, we don't have to exhibit an attitude that stinks. The satellite dish of our mind doesn't have to be stuck on the wrong channel. And we can choose to cultivate, we can choose the attitude of praise in our lives, and what will happen? God can help us to break out of that prison of grumbling and complaining that stifles the Spirit of God. Now, I stand before you as one who finds myself on the wrong channel often. And I don't like it. And I know what it's doing to me. I don't know what it's doing to my mind. I know what it does to my thinking. I know what it does when I speak and act when I'm on the wrong channel. And one Christian, had this advice, good spiritual advice. This is what they said: I repeat aloud several Bible verses I've memorized, Bible verses that give praise and acknowledge the character of God. And I do it in a strong, enthusiastic voice. And it may be raining outside. It may be I may be dreading the work on my desk. But when I do these exercises, it is amazing how it changes my whole attitude. What is the focus as he tunes into the right channel? The focus is upon God, on hope in God, and God's leading, that what God has said, claiming the promises of the Lord. Now, you and myself, we may get up some mornings with a Lindberger cheese attitude. You know, or we may be going about everyday life and nobody knows about it at all. But on our mind are things that are negative, things that are discouraging, things that prevent us from being who we really should be. And we wish that we could be otherwise. And what God is telling us here, friends, that is this, as we would take hold of His promises. And He's told us here, I will praise the Lord at all times. That is a promise that can actually happen as the Holy Spirit enables us to do it. You see, like a remote control, God has designed that we exercise the right use of the will. You and I, we still have the choice. We have the choice. Are you ready to make the choice? I want to challenge you today to make the right use of the will, fight the good fight of faith, and turn on the right channel in your mind and my mind. And that action of the will alone will allow God, by His Holy Spirit, to direct our minds away from self to God. It really will. Now, as you're there in Psalms 34, let's go to the first part of verse 2. What does it say there? My soul shall make its boast in who? In the Lord. Do we know what praise does? Do we know what will happen if we choose to keep the remote on the right channel? Do we really realize what will happen is that our emotions may be negative at the times. Our complaining emotions may really be taking control of us, but they can change. They can change from negative to praise emotions, from defeat to optimism. But we have to fight the fight of faith. God is inviting us to make use of the right use of the will. We have the choice. You have the choice. As you sit down and you watch television, you've got that remote control. You have the choice. You can either be on the negative channels or you can choose to get on the right channels. It's up to you and me. God is not going to force us. But he knows that once we get on the right channels, that God can bless. Praising God directs our minds away from the problem to the solution. And the solution is going God's way. And his way is the right way. Now, I want to ask those of us, and I speak for all of us, including this person that stands before us, we all find ourselves at times complaining and grumbling. Do you think that an attitude of praise will affect the attitude and the atmosphere of your home? Do you think the attitude of praise will affect the atmosphere of your job, your business, and school? Do you think the attitude of praise could affect the atmosphere of our church family? I believe that with all my heart. Notice what the Bible actually says right here. Psalms 34 and the rest of verse 2 and verse 3. The humble shall hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Can you believe that? When we praise God, when we choose to have to build up the body of Christ instead of tear down the body of Christ, when we choose to be positive for the Lord, those good attitudes have an effect upon the people around us. It is a powerful principle, and it works. Now, I want to have you, as you go now with me, to the second attitude adjustment, and that is this. Not only choose and cultivate the attitude of praise, but secondly, choose and cultivate the attitude of humility. Humility. Sometimes we have a big head when we need to have maybe a more balanced head. I had a pastor friend, great speaker. He was asked to speak before two groups of pastors. One group of pastors one day, another group of pastors the next day. And he told me what happened. The first day, as he spoke before these pastors, he had a big head. He did not have the attitude of humility. He gave the impression that he had all the answers, that he had it all together, and it turned the other pastors off. He saw that. He learned from his mistake. And he sought the Lord. He said, Lord, I want to share this message. I believe that you gave me this message. I believe it's a powerful message. But because I had this big head, I thought I was right and they were all wrong. I had all the answers. God, give me an attitude of humility. Help me to behold you, to become like you. And he spoke to those pastors, and the Lord spoke from him to them, and it gave them courage, and it spoke to their needs. When it comes to this important attitude of humility, the Bible says it so well. And I'm going to read it from the Living Bible of the paraphrase, Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 8. Listen as I read from that translation. Your attitude should be the kind that was shown us by Jesus Christ, who, though he was God, up at the highest of all, who, though he was God, did not demand and cling to his rights as God, but laid aside his mighty power and glory, taking the disguise of a slave or a servant, and became like men. And he humbled himself even further, going so far as actually to die a criminal's death on a cross. What an example we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. Has our attitude been showing lately? Has your attitude been showing lately? Has my attitude been showing lately? Have we not displayed an attitude of humility towards someone lately? Maybe in the church family. Have we given the impression that I'm right and you're wrong, and if you don't go my way, well, this is what I'm going to do? Or have we actually showed an attitude of humility to our children? That when we maybe have blown it as parents or grandparents, are we willing to admit that we made a mistake? Do we have an attitude of humility? I want to tell you that when we come before the Lord And we come openly acknowledging, Lord, I do not have such an attitude as you do. Please help me. Help me as I behold you in your word to have an attitude of humility. You know what will happen? In time, the Spirit of God will begin to change us to have a humble attitude. And I know I speak to every one of us, including myself, that we all need to have such an attitude. And my, what a difference it would make in our homes, in our businesses, in our church. There's a third attitude adjustment that it would be well for us to choose to cultivate. And that is to have an attitude of can-do. An attitude of can-do. Now, have you ever heard someone say this? Well, we just can't do that. It just can't be done. You've said it, maybe. I've said it. It just can't be done. I can't get a good grade in math. This church can't grow. My husband can't do anything right. The school will never get its credibility. It just can't get its credibility. I can't stop smoking. I can't stop eating. Overeating? Can't, never did anything right. But those of us who choose and cultivate by the power of the Spirit of God the can-do attitude, they're the ones who can do it. They're the ones who can do it. Now, take for example, here's a homely illustration, but it really has a lot of truth to it. For decades, track and field enthusiasts, they declare that nobody but nobody will ever be able to break the 4-minute mile. And you'd almost thought that that was the case, because for years that was the case. The predictions seemed to be correct. It just can't be done, they said. And then a man by the name of Roger Bannister. Does that name sound familiar to you, those of you that like track and field events? Roger Bannister, he said, I believe that the 4-minute mile can be broken. And he practiced, he ran, and he broke the 4-minute mile. And today, believe it or not, more than 336 have accomplished this impossible feat. They broke the barrier of can't do. Do you know that when you and I accept the can't-do attitude, we're not going to be very successful in selling anything in our everyday life? The true story is told about a young psychiatrist who was drafted into the army. Now, here he is, a young man. He's a psychiatrist. He has so much potential, and he finds himself on duty one day, and it says, your duty now in the army today is to hand out the apricots. And here is this psychiatrist, but he's in the army. He's got to work for his country, and today he hands out apricots. Well, he thought he'd do a little bit of test. He thought he'd do a little test about the apricots and the chow line. And so we had a 3-point quiz, and it went like this. The first part of the test was, you don't want any apricots, do you? He asked the people that were going through the lines, you don't want any of these apricots, do you? And he asked a few, and 90% said no. 90%. I'm not at all surprised about that. And then he tried a more positive approach, and he said, you do want an apricot, don't you? And about half of them said, yeah, I'll take some. And then he tried even more of a positive approach, and he said this, would you like one dish of apricots or two dishes of apricots? One or two? And in spite of the fact that apricots were not exactly known to be delicious in the mess hall, the cafeteria food is not the best all this time. But yet, because of the way he handled that, 40% took two dishes and 50% took one dish. You see the difference attitude makes? Tremendous difference. Tremendous difference. Well, let's apply it spiritually now. Let's apply it spiritually. Faith is one of the most powerful mental attitudes that you and I can have. And as Bible students, we call it faith talk. Faith talk. And the Bible speaks for itself right here. Remember the words? Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, faith talk. Would you do it with me? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, you and I can't do it alone. We can do it. We can do it. I can do it. We can do it through Christ who strengthens me. And I love this story. I love those Bible stories. David, the shepherd boy, going up against the giant Goliath. No story like a Bible story, right? And here were his awesome warrior friends, and they were afraid of this giant. And in effect, what they were doing is this. They said this, he is so big, we can't kill him. But what did David do? David had the eyes of faith, believing that God could do the impossible, and it would take the impossible. Only God could see him through that. And so he looked that giant in the eyes, and he said, in essence, he's so big, I can't mess with God on my side. Amen? Do you have any giants in your life? Do you have any giants that you have to tangle with? And it may be at home, or in your business, or maybe even here at church. Have any giants? The real question, friends, that we need to face is, how big is your God? How big is your God? Is he bigger than our giants? How big is your God? Are you a can-do person? A person? Or if you are, then I can promise you the Bible will come true. We can do, you can do all things through Christ who will strengthen you. Through Christ. But the most winning attitude is the fourth attitude that we need to choose. It's up to you and me. Choose to cultivate. And that is the attitude of love. The attitude of love. Now, you know, it's pretty easy to love the lovely people. It's easy to love the lovely and those that are kind to us. But to love those people who may disappoint us, people who misunderstand us, people who have attacked us unjustly, to love those people, that is a different kind of love. But if we choose, here, you have the choice. You and I have the choice. If we choose and we cultivate to have an attitude that loves even the unlovely, even the unlovable people, then we are going to win, and this church including will win. I believe that. What does the Bible say? The Bible says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you what? If you love one another. Love. To love even the unlovely and the unlovable. I ask you today, is there anyone here today? If there's anyone, maybe you can relate to this. Are there people who have misunderstood you? Are there people in the church who have talked about you behind your back? Are there people in your church family who have maybe said things about you that you know was not the rest of the story? Can you relate to this? Has this happened to you? Has this hurt? How do you love those people? How do you love those people? Because God is wanting us to love them. We need to love them as Jesus loved us. Jesus invites us to love. You see, because he was misunderstood too. He was grieved. It grieved his spirit as well. They even hurt his reputation as well. But he still loved them back. He treated them as if it never happened. And he even at the cross willingly died for them. And there at the cross he said, what are the words he said? Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgive them. How does one love like that? How did Jesus love like that? How do you get a supernatural love like that? Friends, our love is like a love in the orange, you know, as long as there's some juice there, we can love. But then after a while, there's nothing left. Nothing left. We need something from above. We need God's love. And how are you going to get that, friends? You get it by getting your remote control and fight the fight of faith and say, I'm going to tune into the right channel. And I'm going to stay close to God through Jesus. I'm going to get to know him and talk with him and seek his face and his character and let him change me. I'm going to take hold of the promises of God. And as he did that, he was victorious for us. And he invites us to do the same, friends. And let me tell you, God, by his Holy Spirit, can give us a loving attitude that will win. That will win. And so the next time your attitude is showing, may it be an attitude of praise, an attitude of humility, an attitude of can-do, and an attitude of love, is my prayer and desire for each of us, including myself. I want to invite you to turn with me in your hymnals now to hymn number 559, a wonderful Thanksgiving hymn, hymn number 559, Now Thank We All Our God.
Now thank we all our God, with heart and hands and voices, who wondrous things hath done, in whom his world rejoices, who from our mother's arms hath blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today. Oh, may this bounteous God through all our life be near us, ever joyful hearts and blessed peace to cheer us, and keep us in his grace, and guide us when perplexed, and free us from all ills in this world and the next. All praise and thanks to God, the Father, now be given. The Son and him who reigns with them in highest heaven. One eternal God, whom earth and heaven adore, for thus it was, is now, and shall be evermore.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads. We do thank you, Father, for the privilege of being thankful. We are mindful how small we are in the big picture of things and how great you are and what you've done for us.
Yes.
We've studied the last few weeks about the bailout. Doesn't seem fair, Father. All that you've done for us, you keep bailing us out. Help us to understand more fully what you've done for us. Help us to have a grateful heart. Mm-hmm. Help us to be willing to be humble, to be the humble heart that you want us to be.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we thank you for this sermon today, and we ask that we can, each one of us, learn to have the attitude that Jesus Christ had.
Yes, Lord.
We know it doesn't come natural. In fact, we do what we can to work against that. Sad to say. Father, we need you to change us.
Yes, Lord.
And we thank you for your desire to do that and your continual working with us.
Mm-hmm.
May we each one be found doing your will, Father, for we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.